Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Lamentations, chapter 5. You know what the Babylonian did to the Jewish women in those days? It says here in verse 11, they, this is the Babylonian, ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Many of the women were raped. Here the word is ravished. The Hebrew word is enu. La'anot, to ravish, is to abuse the women. And as it says here, the maidens, the word for maids is the Hebrew word betulot, virgins. You see what happened? The evil treatment by the enemies of Israel, that they have taken the women and they actually ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the city of Judah. They raped them and treated them in an evil way. Can you imagine what's going on even in the world today when any dictator or any evil man fight against a group of people, what they do to the women, how they treat them, and how that affects the rest of their lives? That's what they did. They ravished the women in Zion, in Zion. That's speaking about Yerushalayim. And the maids in the cities of Judah, all the cities in an area that belonged to Yehuda, to the tribe of Judah, they have gone from place to place, from house to house, from corner to corner, and they ravish the women in Zion. The wicked treatment of the Jewish women in those days. But it's not only the Jewish women. Look what happened to the princess. It says in verse 12, the princess are hung up by their hand. In other words, what did they do to the princes, to the leaders, some of the princes in Israel? They hung them. Just yesterday in our Bible class on the book of Galatians, we read in Galatians chapter 3 how the Messiah was hanging on a tree. And the apostle Shaul Paul referred to the book of Deuteronomy and he quoted in Deuteronomy 21, verse 22 and 23. If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, thou shalt hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hangeth is accursed to God. In other words, what these Babylonians do to the princes in Yehuda and in Zion, they have killed them and hung them. And it was like a testimony, you might say, to their evil doing. You know, similarly, we think about what the Romans did some 2,000 years ago in the days where Yeshua was upon the face of this earth, when somebody had gone against the Roman authority. They would crucify him and place him on a shameful cross. And of course, sadly, they took Jesus, the Messiah, who sinned not, the perfect Lamb of God, and they place him on a shameful cross, on a tree. Cursed is a man that hangeth on a tree. And you know, beloved brothers and sisters, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, was hanging on a tree not because of any sin that he committed. He was hanging on a tree for the sins that you and I have committed. He became a curse on our behalf. God judged him so you and I will never need it to be judged. But you can see what these men have done to the Israeli princes. They hung them up by their hand. And you can see them as a display of shame, a curse, that they have done this to these princes of Israel. So the women were raped. The princes were killed and hung on a tree. But then we read not only this, the elders of Israel were not honored. The elders of Israel, the Zkenim, were supposed to be honored and respected. They treated them in an evil way, in a shameful way. We are to honor the elders. They are to honor the older men and to treat them for their age with respect and care. But no, they have hung the princess, the younger one, and they have not honored the elders. In fact, they put them to shame. So you see how it affected every area in the life of the people of Israel. Now notice what happened to the young ones in verse 13 of Lamentation chapter 5. The effect upon the young one of Israel, they became slaves. It says here in this verse 13, they took the young men to grind and the children fell under the wood. In other words, the young people of Judah, the young men, they took them to grind, to work. It was like they became slaves. And the children could not bear to be able to continue, so they fell under the wood. They could not continue to do so. They were crushed. They were not able to continue on. It affected the young people as well. And now notice in verses 14 and 15, look what we read about the order and the joyless experience that they have had during those days. It says in verses 14 and 15, the elders have ceased from the gate, and the young men from their music. The joy of our hearts is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. So the elders are no longer going to the gate. The gate is the place where the elders meet. The council of the people of Israel, right by the gates in the city of Jerusalem and in any other gates in Judea, in Israel. And the elders are counseling together and giving instruction to the people of Israel. But they are no longer going there because the gates are destroyed. And the elders no longer can continue to lead the people of Israel because Israel were in a state of confusion, destruction. And they have been taken captive by the Babylonians. Can you imagine if we don't have the leaders counsel and give advice to us so we can continue on to walk here in this world? No. The elders, they cease from the gate. They no longer went to the gate with the time to give counsel and to meet together. And you notice that the young men cease from their music. Couldn't sing anymore. It says here, the young men cease from music. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. And you know, beloved brothers and sisters, I'm repeating it many times. But I will repeat it one more time with respect to what happened to the people of Judah during the time of the Babylonian captivity. Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willow in the midst thereof. There in Babylon by the rivers, they that carried us away captive, this is the Babylonian, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us a mirth, saying, sing unto us one of the songs of Zion. And look what they said. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They couldn't sing. As we read here in Lamentation chapter 5 and verse 14b, the young men cease from music. Verse 15 said, the joy of our heart is ceased, our dance is turned into mourning. They could not sing anymore. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? We read in the same Psalm 137, that they made a decision later on. They said, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishakach yemini, they said. If I not remember thee, this is Jerusalem, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. This is Psalm 137, verses 1 to 6. You see, they could not sing. And why they couldn't sing? Because they were under the captivity of the Babylonian. And why they were under the captivity of the Babylonian? Because they disobeyed the Lord. They violated the word of God, and God in judgment allowed the Babylonian to take them captive. And so there's no more song. There's no more dance. No more joy. No more celebration. How could you? How can one celebrate when his heart is heavy? His father might have been killed. His mother might have been raped. His daughter must have been treated evilly. How can you sing? You can't. And knowing that we disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord came upon them in judgment. So verses 11 to 15, beloved brothers and sisters, Jeremiah present to God the effect that the destruction of Jerusalem made upon the whole Jewish society. You know, sometime I'm wondering today how our own Jewish people, in spite of all the history, can still sing. In spite of the persecution, can still sing. This is amazing how the Lord somehow allow them to rise above the circumstances. And if you notice, many of the songs that even we sing are melancholy, a very sad song, because we always have this experience in our history of persecution and rejection and hatred. This is the history of our own people Israel, from the day that we came out of the land of Egypt up till the present day in which we live in, and it will continue until the end of the tribulation, where the Messiah will be accepted and Israel as a nation will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn, recognize, I have rejected him for so many years, and he is the promised Mashiach. I should have accepted him. And he is the one who will restore our people and bring the nation to himself. And that will be an amazing, glorious day that is yet before the nation of Israel. Now let's draw towards the end. In verses 16, 17, and 18, Jeremiah confesses the cause of the condition that Jerusalem is at right now. He admits, and in a sense, is the whole nation is admitting, here is the reason that we are in such a condition. Notice verses 16, 17, and 18. He said, the crown is fallen from our head. And notice verse 16b, woe unto us that we have sinned. Oy na lanu ki chatanu. This is exactly the reason. Jeremiah is honest. Israel had to realize the reason that we find ourselves in this condition. It is because we have sinned against the Lord. Isaiah says in Isaiah 6 verse 5, woe is me, for I am a man with unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. The word for woe comes from the Hebrew word oy, and it represents the pain that come out of the judgment of God. Woe unto us that we have sinned. Verse 16. Verse 17, we read, because this thing happened unto us. He says, for this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. What do you mean, this? This is the sins that we have committed. Disobey the Lord. That's the reason why our heart is so heavy and faint. This is the reason why our eyes are so dim. We are tired. We can't take it anymore. In verse 18, Jeremiah says, because of the mountain of Zion, the Hebrew word is Har Zion. The mountain of Zion, that has a reference to the temple, to Beit HaMikdash. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Now, the house, the temple of the Lord, where God presence was in the midst of the people of Israel, where the song was there, where the worship was there, where the sacrificial system was offered every day. Now it is desolate. And Jeremiah is saying, the mountain of Zion, Har Zion, on the top of Mount Zion, Mount Moriah, the mountains of Jerusalem is Zion. You saw from far away the temple, Beit HaMikdash. The Jewish people were coming from all over the lands of the world to worship the Lord three times a year. Pesach, Shavuot, weeks, and Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. But now what? Where shall we go? It is desolate. It's no longer there. And why? It's because we have sinned against our God. That's what Jeremiah is saying to the Lord as he lamenting and praying for mercy. And brothers and sisters, here's the conclusion. In the last four verses, 19, 20, 21, and 22, Jeremiah is praying for Jerusalem's restoration. And you notice what he says in verse 19, Thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Thy throne from generation to generation. Even though the temple is destroyed and we have been carried to Babylon and the city of Jerusalem is burnt with fire, but you, Lord, you remain forever. You don't change. We change, but you change us not. Thy throne is from generation to generation. You are still in control, even though things seem to be so poor in our life. And so he continues in verse 20, and Yirmiyahu is saying, Wherefore dost thou forget us forever? He is asking the Lord, Are you going to forget us forever? And you forsake us for such a long time, you know? The people felt as if God forsook them. And he said, Did you forsake us forever? You have forgotten us, your people, forever? Is that what's going to happen, God? And then he beseeched the Lord. That's a beautiful verse in verse 21. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. God, we've sinned. I repent, I confess. The nation will repent. He says, I want you to turn us. The Hebrew word here is hashivenu. Come from the Hebrew word shuvu, repent, turn around. And you notice that he said, God, I want you to turn us. Because we are in such a condition that you need to work it out in our hearts. You know, sometimes we wonder why people don't turn to the Lord. In fact, the sin nature that we all possess only drive us further and further from the Lord. John 3:19 says that men love darkness rather than light. And if you think that you love light, you don't know your heart. By nature, men love darkness, Yeshua said it, rather than light. And we need the Lord by His Spirit to turn us around. And he will use any means, if needed, to bring someone to turn to himself. And here it is that Jeremiah is praying, Lord, turn thou us unto thee, and we shall be turned. In other words, if the Lord gonna do that work, it will happen. It will not be insincere. It will be a genuine work of the heart of an individual. That's why when someone gets saved today, he or she, if they are truly turned to the Lord, it is the work of the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of God is working in the heart and turning that person back to the Lord. And then we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. We don't want to stay the way we are now. We remember the old days where we enjoy thy presence. Don't allow us to continue on in the way that we are now. Hashivenu Adonai Alecha Venashuv. Kadesh Yamenu Kakedem. That's the Hebrew way of saying that, verse 21. Turn thou us, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Many times we as well, when we go wrong and we turn away from the Lord, then we look back at the days of old and we say, Lord, I had it good, but I fail you. I disobeyed, I made my choices, and now I pay the consequence. But I remember those days. What a blessing when we could be together, when we can enjoy the Lord, when we can be under the sound of the word, but we decided to make steps further and further from the Lord. And it doesn't take too long, it catch up with us. And then we realize, like King Saul, the king of Israel, Shaul said, I played the fool. I was a fool to make such a decision. I should have listened to the word of the Lord. And so the conclusion now, in verse 22, but thou hast utterly rejected us, thou art very wroth with us. Now, it sounds like, dear brothers and sisters, as if this whole book of Lamentation is concluding with God utterly rejecting the Jewish people, as it says here, and he is very wrath against the Jewish people. And if you ask many, they would think that even up till today, God consistently and continuously rejected Israel, and as if it were Israel do not have a future restoration. But the truth of the matter, that there is a promise of a future restoration, and God will never disannul the covenant that he made with the people of Israel. Look what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 35. Thus says the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, verse 37, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel, for all that they have done, says the Lord. In other words, what God is saying, if you can measure how high the heaven is, and if you can measure how low the foundation of the earth is, then I will cast the people of Israel from being a nation. Can you measure that? Can I measure that? God knows very well that we cannot measure. If those ordinances, speaking about the sun, the moon, the stars, and so on, he said, if those ordinances shall depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall be ceased. Can you turn off the sun? Can you turn off the moon? Can you have the stars cease from existing? Of course not. God will never completely eliminate and reject the people of Israel. God have not cast away his people. And that's why the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 11 said in verses 1 and 2, I say then, as God cast away his people, God forbid. For I am also an Israeli of the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people which he foreknew. He continues and he says to the brethren at Rome, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of the mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. But blindness in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in, and so all Israel shall be saved. Romans 11, verse 25 and 26, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, from Jacob. God will restore his people Israel in the coming days. And now when Jeremiah concluded his lamentation in chapter 5 and verse 22, he said, but thou hast utterly rejected us and art very wroth against us, it is better read this way. Unless thou hast utterly rejected us, and unless thou art very wroth against us. In other words, God did not cast the people of Israel away. He will restore the people of Israel back to himself eventually, when the times of the Gentiles, which began at 586 BC, will come to its end at the second coming of the Messiah, at the end of the tribulation, and Israel, the nation, will be restored. One final comment. In the synagogue, when the Lamentations are read today, verse 21 is repeated again after verse 22 as the end of the fifth chapter of Lamentation, because it sounds like it is a negative verse in verse 22. So in order to end the book in a positive presentation in a synagogue, verse 21 is read once again after verse 22. And so we read, "Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Unless thou hast utterly rejected us, thou art very wroth against us." But they continue back to verse 21. "Turn us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old." That's the book of Lamentation of Jeremiah. What a wonderful care this man had for a people that erred, a people that have gone astray, a people that were judged by God. And yet there is a day coming that Israel will be turned back to the Lord and renew their days as of old, even greater than of old, where Israel, under the King Messiah, will be fully restored and reign and rule with Yeshua the Messiah for 1,000 years of the Messianic kingdom, which is soon to come upon us.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.